prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff. We are from Revolution Church in Salida, Kansas.
And we would love to have you come out and visit with us.
Yeah.
Especially if you haven't been in church for a long time, like
or
regularly.
Ever.
I mean, we really just want you to know that God loves you, God forgives you, God doesn't care what you look like. He cares about what's going on the inside. I mean, God definitely wants to change us and work on us because he cares about us. But we're not going to judge someone by the way they look or anything like that.
No, we're, you know, maybe by the way their heart is. But you know.
So what we're going to do today is continue our discussion from last week, with which was about Biblias.
Right. Studying the Bible.
That's right. So last week we went over the tools you need. And what were some of the things we talked about, Dave?
Well, we talked about the fact that you actually need a good translation.
Got to have a good translation.
Well, wait a minute. You got to start out. You got to have a Bible.
Got to have a Bible.
But you got to have a Bible that's a good translation.
Yes.
We went over several different translations. Now we use the NIV here at the church.
Yep. Most of the time.
That's a really good translation. And then, of course, you need a good study Bible as well if you want to get a little deeper into the what's and whys and wherefores and stuff like that.
That's right. Then we also talked about a Bible dictionary, which you can look up topics that you read about in the Bible. And we talked about having commentary. We talked about having software. So those are all tools that you can have. You can go to the show, listen to that, see the links and advice we put on the website about which ones to get. But if you want to know how to study the Bible today, we're actually going to do a Bible study.
We're going to do a Bible study for everybody to see.
That's right. So basically what we're going to do is, look, we're going to break it down. Like verse by verse, we're going to show you like what happens when you sit down and you want to read the Bible for yourself. Studying the Bible is an absolute must.
Right. Because how are you going to know exactly what God has planned for you if you don't read what God's word is?
Exactly. Someone in my growth group, you know, our small groups are called growth groups here. Someone in my growth group this last week said, I read the Bible, but I want to make sure that what I'm reading, like that I'm getting it right.
Right.
I'm not just like assuming it means something to me that isn't what it actually means. How do I know whether I'm reading it the right way or not?
Right. And that's really awesome because that's the beginning of maturity right there.
Oh man.
Because if you have no maturity at all, you're just going to be like, well, it really doesn't matter. You know, it may be different for me as it is for you, just whatever you want to do. I'm just going to sit here and play video games.
And when you read the Bible, the question you want to get away from is, what does it mean to me?
Right.
You want to get to
what does it mean?
What does it mean?
Right.
So when Dave talks and Dave
people
says,
listen,
when Dave talks, people listen. That's true. But when Dave says like, hey, Jeff, your shirt is too bright for the radio show. I don't say, to me, that means it's the right brightness for everything else in my life. I'm wearing a good shirt that I should be confident about.
Right. Or maybe you thought I said meant that your shirt is very smart for this radio show, so you shouldn't wear it.
Exactly. It's too smart. So, my real question when I listen to Dave, and you do this all the time when you listen to people talk or read books, is what was Dave trying to say? What was Dave communicating? I can't just take what he said and just use it however I want.
Right.
I need to get to what was Dave trying to communicate. And when we read the Bible, it's the same thing. What is the Bible trying to communicate? And the Bible wasn't written to Dave. It wasn't written to Jeff.
Right.
Who was it written to?
It was written to everybody.
Well, it was written to...
well, to the churches.
Okay, if we're reading the book of 1 Corinthians, it was written to...
right. The church in Corinth.
The church in Corinth.
Which would be populated by the Corinthians, which is why,
if we're reading the book of Philippians, it was written to...
Philip, who had a bunch
No.
The church in Philippi.
The church in Philippi, right? The people in the town of Philippi, the Philippians. So you have to, you have to know who was it being written to. And it's not written to me. It's written for me.
Yes.
For our benefit, but not to us. And that's a major distinction.
That's what I meant earlier, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Right. I believe you. So we're going to talk about now, when you got that understanding, then you read it. You're reading a letter that was written from one person to another person, or you're reading a historical document, or when you're reading the book of Psalms, you're reading songs or poems that were written. And when you understand the genre you're reading, then you go into it and say, okay, I'm going to look into this letter that was written from one person to another. and I'm going to look into their life and learn what God wants me to learn from right. their interactions with each other. So the first thing we do is we always get cracked.
The cracked acronym.
C-R-A-C-K-E-D. Okay. And this is pretty important. So we're going to actually pull open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, what's interesting about today's show is that Dave and I haven't done this study together.
This is going to be awesome.
We haven't sat down. We haven't pre-planned what to say about this. We're just going to take like a look into this. We're going to read some verses together, and then we're going to apply some principles and see just see what happens off the cuff as we read the Bible on our own, as though we are doing a Bible study by ourselves in our house. And so we're going to start with the cracked acronym, and you're going to see partway through this why it's important to have the study tools we talked about.
Okay.
A good Bible, a good translation. So we're just going to skip the intro. We're going to start in verse 4. We're going to read like verse 4 down to like verse 17. And so pay attention here as we read, and then we're going to go back and we're going to see why these sections matter.
Okay.
Dave, you want to read this?
I sure will.
All right.
I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you.
Now, I'm just curious, what version are you using?
I am using the NIV.
Which one? Because I'm using the NIV. I think I'm using the older one.
Yeah, this would... Yeah, the updated version.
Okay,
probably.
Great.
So, let me get back.
We're now going back to verse 7 where it says, therefore...
All right. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power.
Okay, great. So this is 1 Corinthians 4 through 17. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do is we're going to use our cracked acronym first, and then I'm going to show you some different ways to study the Bible. So when you study the Bible, you can read it, you can memorize sections, you can read the whole Bible in a year. You can follow an online program to show you when to read, how to read it. You can there's multitudes of different ways to study the Bible. We're just going to show you one way today. But before we get to that one way, you always want to apply the cracked acronym.
There you go.
No matter what you're reading. All right, so the first thing is C, context. Mm-hmm. You'll note we didn't just read one verse.
Right. The verses all around it. We read the whole section.
We read this whole section here. Okay, and we want to remember the whole thing we read.
Mm-hmm.
R stands for revealed. Before we started the radio show today,
We prayed.
Mm-hmm. All right, we always want to pray that God will reveal the truth to us. Now, the A stands for author's intention. So when we're reading this, we're asking the question, what was Paul, who wrote this book, what was Paul trying to communicate? And here's why it's important to have a study Bible and not just a normal Bible. If you have a study Bible, which the study Bible I'm using today is the Serendipity Bible, for personal and small group study. Mm-hmm. All right, it's not one of the ones we recommended, but it's a decent one. And so I flip over here to the page before the book begins and actually says, author, the Apostle Paul. So now I know this is Paul who wrote this book. All right, pretty simple. So now I know Paul's writing this. And what is Paul trying to communicate? What's he trying to say? Well, in my study Bible, it says the theme is Christian lifestyle in a pagan society. So right off the bat, I know he's communicating this study Bible. It's a good one. It's already told me he's telling them a lot about how to live among people who don't live like Christians.
There you go. Okay.
Now, all right, so I read this. What's he trying to say? And we start in verse 4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. So right off the bat, what do I do with this? Do I say, huh, Paul was thanking God for me? Is that?
No.
No,
that
why not?
Correct.
Why not?
Because he was writing it to the church in Corinth. So basically, he's always thanks my God for them.
Okay, so Paul's thanking God for those people. Mm-hmm. So that's his intention when he begins, right? And then he goes on, for in him, you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. He's trying to communicate something to them. Okay, I'm going to ask, what is he trying to communicate in a little bit? Why is he trying to communicate that? We're going to use our cracked acronym a little bit later as we get deeper, but I'm just giving you a breeze through these. Now, C, the second C stands for credibility. That just means if something is weird, I dig in a little deeper. I don't throw it out. K is knit together. If I find something in here that I need to know from elsewhere, for instance, you get down to verse 19, which we're not getting to right now, he actually quotes from Isaiah 29. And so if I read down to that part, I would need to know, oh, he was referring to another sense of section of scripture.
Right.
There's a reason this goes together. He might even refer to other sections of scripture here that we need to be aware of because it's all knit together.
Right.
And then the E, the early meaning in manuscripts. As I go through this, I need to ask, what did this word mean when they wrote it? What was this originally? So when he says, like on verse 8, he will keep you strong to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Blameless. Now, if I have one of those Bible study tools that we talked about yesterday or last week, I can open up that book and look at blamelessness.
Yeah, what does it mean?
What does it mean? What is blamelessness? And I can really dig in on the meaning of that particular word, and that would be important. And then the D stands for dialect. What type of literature is this? What type of literature is this, Dave?
It's a letter.
It's a letter. It's mm-hmm. the letter being written from one person to another. It doesn't look like he's using sarcasm here.
Right.
It doesn't look like he's giving some weird metaphor or anything like that. So he's writing something pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
All right. So this isn't a song that, you know, it's not poetic in nature. So I've got that down. I'm just going to read this as always, reading a letter written from one person to another, and be careful to watch these sentences to make sure that not anything strange follows. And for instance, when you get down to verse 12, he says, one of you says, I follow Paul, another I follow Apollos, another I follow Cephas, still another I follow Christ. Then he says, is Christ divided? Well, what's his dialect there? At that point, he's using rhetorical questions, mm-hmm. right? That's important to understand that he just changed his genre, his dialect. He's not teaching truth. He's asking rhetorical questions. Is Christ divided? Well, the answer is no.
Right.
He wants you to say no. He's not going to say that, but that's what he wants you to say. And it becomes clear when you read the context. So you just have to be careful with that. Okay, now we're going to get in. We're going to actually study this.
Okay.
Now we're going to keep our cracked in mind. We're going to study this. Dave, what's the difference between exegete and eisegete?
Exegete is whenever you take scripture and you actually find out what the meaning is.
Yes.
And you pull it out of scripture.
You pull it out. I read it and I pull out the truth that is communicated.
Right. Eisegete means I read the scripture, I jumble it around in my head, I filter it through everything that I've ever been through and everything that I've been told, and then I say, that must be what Jesus meant.
Yeah. So we're putting it onto the text.
Right.
So I'm reading something into it that isn't there alone. And so what we want to do is we want to exegete. We want to take it, pull the truth out of it, and apply it to our lives instead of taking what we think and putting it on the text. Now, here's a way that people try to do this, and here's a way I suggest. I want you to pick a time that you're going to be able to do this every single day. Your goal is to make sure that your roots go down deep into the ground to know God deeply, so well that when trouble comes, the word of God is not choked out of you. You have memorized, you have soaked yourself in this, you've studied it so deeply and so well that when you face hard times, the word of God comes straight to your brain. Now, on the other side of this break, we're actually going to do the study.
All right.
We've just done prep work. We're going to actually do the study. We're going to look for promises, principles, warnings, restrictions, and rules. When you read, I want you to look for those five things.
Okay.
All right, Dave, where do they need to go in the meantime?
TruthRevolution.tv and Revo.church.
That's right.
TruthRevolution.tv, you can get all of our past shows and all that stuff. You can donate and ask questions.
That's right. One of the stations you're listening on is going to be dropping the show soon. So make sure you get the TruthRevolution.tv and sign up for the podcast. We'll be right back.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One of our listeners asks, I have sinned then more than anyone out there. What am I supposed to do?
Apostle Paul felt the same way. He calls himself the worst of sinners.
And reality is that sin brings death. Romans 6:19 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Here's the good news. Read Galatians 2:15 to 3:26. Here's my paraphrase. None of us, seriously, none of us can get to heaven by following the rules or doing good things.
We've done evil, so the rules basically prove how messed up we are. Mm-hmm. But we're vindicated by
faith in Jesus Christ.
Seriously, when we trust that God's promise to save us is good enough,
and we stop trying to make it to heaven ourselves, then we are saved.
When we have faith and rely on Jesus to give us forgiveness, then we are forgiven.
The law, the rules, and good deeds will never fix our sin problem. And they don't have to. Jesus already fixed it.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
What's up, Pastor Dave?
I saw a guy come into Revolution Church the other day wearing an old ripped up Nirvana t-shirt.
Like the band?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I gave him a fist bump and some coffee.
Yeah, all right. At Revolution Church, we aren't worried what you look like, but we do want you and your family to learn about Jesus along with us.
Check us out online at revo.church.
That's revo.church. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 5 p.m., revo.church. You know, Revolution Church isn't the only great church in town. There's lots of them. For instance, we love Crossroads Church.
Hey, if you don't like religion or traditional church, but you know there's got to be more to life than what you've got going on right now, check us out at Crossroads Church. We're a church with a difference.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, we've got rock music, informal comfort, a bunch of broken people who are actually happy, and kicking words of life that'll set you free.
And when do you meet?
Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock.
And where can they find you?
Facebook us at Crossroads Church Salina.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give... Give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going. Some Christians treat the love of God like something to be reflected, like a mirror. It hits them and immediately goes out, but the problem is they don't feel it. Some treat God's love like a coat. They feel the warmth, but it never goes anywhere else. I like to think of it like a battery. We soak up the love of Jesus, but that energy and love is meant to be used for something else. We receive the love from God, and it translates into taking care of orphans and widows and foster kids. Be a battery for Jesus.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back talking about studying the Bible today.
Bam.
And we're going to do it right here.
That's right. So I've got a paper Bible, a study Bible. Dave's using one on his phone.
Right.
There's multiple ways to do this. Now, I've got a study Bible. We're going to start. And look, there's a lot of different ways to study the Bible. My wife loves a method called SOAK. You can look that one up online. Just like Bible study SOAK, S-O-A-K.
Okay.
That's fine. That's a good one. Here's one that I like to do with people who are maybe newer to the Bible. Maybe not newer, but maybe just newer to doing Bible studies. We often do this with people when we study the Bible with them. And what we're going to do is we're going to look for promises. So I'm going to read a section of Scripture, and then I'm going to reread it looking for promises.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to read it again looking for principles. And then we're going to ask, are there any warnings in there? Okay, a promise is something God promises us.
Mm-hmm.
A principle is a principle that you should understand about God or about the world or us, etc. So there's like this principle that's out there that God wants us to be aware of that's true. There's a warning in Scripture. A warning is something that you get like, hey, here's something you need to know about God. That's a warning. You got to be careful about that, or a warning about yourself. You might do this. There's also restrictions. These are rules that God gives. Do not type things.
Right.
And then there's also instructions, not restrictions, but instructions. These are rules that are like do type things.
Sure sounds like a lot of work, Jeff.
Well, there's really only five things, right? One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, five things. And so all you want to do is go in there and say, okay, what did God promise? What did God give me a principle on? What's a warning? What's a restriction? And what's an instruction?
All right.
That's it. It's pretty simple. So let's just start with 1 Corinthians. You're going to see this. We're going to start with verse 4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Okay. That's verse 4. Is there anything in there? Is that a promise, a principle, a warning, a restriction, or instruction? Well, this is Paul. We're reading the context, right? Paul is writing this to the Corinthians, mm-hmm. and he says, I always thank God for you. I always thank God for you. I think there's a principle here.
Okay.
Why? Because what might this be?
Well, is it something that we want to be thankful to God?
Okay, that's good, right? So Paul is writing to these people that he cares about, and he's thanking God for them. Mm-hmm. It makes me think, do I thank God for the people in my life?
Do you?
I do, actually.
Good.
I do, actually. I thank God for you. I thank God for Sam, for my wife. Sometimes I even thank God for my kids.
All in that order?
Yeah, no, definitely not. So there's this principle. I always thank God for you because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus. Here's another little thing. He says, because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus. This is an interesting, I wouldn't call it an instruction yet, but the way he phrases this is probably a principle. What do you think that is?
Perhaps it is that there is grace to be given people in Christ.
There we go. It's very clear when you read this. Somehow, grace gets to people when they're in Jesus. Wow, that's just something I could just dwell on for a few minutes.
Right.
Grace gets to people when they're in Jesus. When I'm in Jesus, when I'm with Jesus and I spend time with Jesus, when I take my sins to Jesus, I'm getting grace and it's from Jesus.
Amen.
Right? This is like where you start building sermons, right? Mm-hmm. Because you get to the point where you're like, wow, this isn't just some stupid sentence. I thank God for you because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus. Come on, get on with it. Tell me what to do. And he just gave us this amazing principle. Grace is given to you. How? In Christ Jesus.
Right. Amen.
It doesn't look like there's very many other ways that he talks about. And he says, for in him who?
In Jesus.
In Jesus, because we're reading the context. Mm-hmm. It's knit together. He says, for in him. And he just mentioned the dude's name, Christ Jesus.
Dude.
So we're still talking to the dude. Don't call Jesus the dude. All right. For in him, in Jesus, you've been enriched in every way. Now, this is interesting. This is very interesting.
Right.
In all of your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Now, when you think about promises, principles, warnings, restrictions, or instructions, do you see anything in that little section there?
Yeah, I see a promise.
What's that?
That you have been enriched in every way, simply because that we confirmed our testimony about Christ among you.
Now, you say that's a promise. Now, let's ask, who is this book being written to?
This being written to the Corinthians.
Okay, so who has been enriched in every way?
Well, the Corinthians have been enriched in every way.
Very good. The Corinthians have been enriched in every way. Why?
Because they were confirmed. Well, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you.
Mm-hmm.
There was the testimony about Christ among them.
Among them.
Okay.
And when it says in your speaking and your knowledge, it's been shown. Right. So because of the way they spoke, because of what they knew about Jesus Christ, Paul knew that they've been enriched in every way.
Right.
So there's something to be said here. As we grow in knowledge, and this is the promise Dave was getting at, I think, when we grow in knowledge, when we start to speak and share about Jesus Christ, it is proof that we have been enriched in every way, right. That they were enriched in every way. And I think this is a principle that can apply to us. If we really know Christ, if we really speak about Christ, it's evidence that we are being enriched by Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
And so I can actually look at my life and this turns into kind of a warning. Is there any warnings here? Yeah. If I'm not speaking about Christ, if I don't have much knowledge about Jesus Christ, no one is going to know that I've been enriched by Jesus Christ.
Right.
Like, that's kind of a warning right there. And so, am I growing in? Then he says, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed to you, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Now, there's a promise at the end of this verse. I want to talk about this first.
Okay.
What is the promise? It says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed.
All right. Jesus will be revealed.
Bingo! Jesus will be revealed. right? Is that this is going to happen. It is going to be revealed to you. This is a promise. A promise. Jesus will be revealed. At some point, you will see him clearly. You're going to know him clearly. This is awesome. We want to know this. And it goes on to the next one. He will keep you strong to the end. Boom. Another promise, amen. Right? God is going to keep them strong all the way to the end. When? When he's revealed. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely a transferable promise because Jesus Christ is still going to return and he hasn't returned yet. So it definitely applies to us. Mm-hmm. We're going to be kept strong. He's going to return. We're going to be able to see him. These are great things. Now let's go back to verse 7. It says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift.
Right.
That's a promise, but who is it a promise to originally?
Is it the promise originally to the Corinthians?
To the Corinthians, that they didn't lack any spiritual gift.
Right. But if we do the same thing the Corinthians do.
Which was what?
Which was.
As you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
It says, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's part of it.
Yes. But also if we go up to the verse prior to that.
Yes.
We look at how God has confirmed the testimony about Christ among you because with all kinds of speech, with all knowledge.
Knowledge.
Yes. They are, let's see, that they don't lack any spiritual gift because they have that knowledge.
So we have this promise and we're like, why is the promise there? Well, it says, therefore. Because you have knowledge, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift.
Right.
So you grow in knowledge and speaking, and you grow in talking about Jesus. And as you talk about Jesus, as you grow in knowledge, God is going to give every spiritual gift that you need.
Amen.
And this does apply to us too. So we've got this awesome principle that the more you grow in knowledge, the more people can thank God about you. The more you grow in speaking and knowledge, the more God gives you gifts and you will have every spiritual gift you need. That is a principle and that is a promise, along with the warning to not ignore growing in knowledge.
Right.
Because I'm not going to be enriched if I do that. So like all of a sudden this is only just three verses, right? And we've been talking about this for 10 minutes.
Right.
We've been going really fast. And there's just a lot. I mean, there's so much to draw out of this. We're going to keep reading a little bit. He will keep you strong to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of Lord Jesus Christ. Bink, promise.
Right.
God, who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Ooh, there's a principle about God that we need to learn.
Right.
God is faithful. Mm-hmm. And see, what happens when you read the Bible is you skip stuff like this. But don't skip stuff like this. Get out your pen and paper and you're writing things down. What's a principle here? A principle is God is faithful. A principle is God calls me into fellowship with Jesus Christ. What's fellowship? I'm going to open my Bible dictionary and read about fellowship.
Yeah.
Wow, fellowship is people hanging out together. It's eating together. They're loving each other. They're sacrificing for each other. That's the type of relationship God wants me to have with Jesus Christ. You ever heard Christians talk about Jesus is our friend?
Mm-hmm.
Well, never in the Bible does it say Jesus is all Christians' friend. Why do we say this? Well, because of things like this.
Yeah.
He's called us into fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. This is a great principle. I need to have this type of relationship. Boy, Dave, I think we need to do our Bible contradiction.
Okay.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Looks like a short one on this one. So how many animals were on the ark?
How many animals
Genesis
were on the ark?
Genesis 7:15 says, and they went unto Noah unto the ark, two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life.
Two.
Genesis 7:2, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female.
All right. First of all, this is in the same chapter of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Second C stands for credibility. Just give it a little credit. He's not an idiot. He's not going to change his number within a few sentences of each other. But first of all, you just read the context. You want to take a certain number of clean animals and a different number of unclean animals.
There you go.
And so they had different rituals. Some animals were considered clean. Some weren't. If they were clean, you take, I think it was seven. If they weren't clean, you take two. So that's all it is. That's not a Bible contradiction. All right. Hang out online and the podcast. We're going to do a little bit more of the Bible study. For those of you who are listening on the radio, you need to get to our podcast, truthrevolution.tv. You can look us up on iTunes or any podcast software. Look up Truth Revolution, Jeff Pipo, P-I-E-P-H-O. Should pull up, no problem. You can also type in Dave Wagner, but why would you want to do that?
You won't get much.
Truth Revolution.
And we're online.
I just wanted to do a little bit more of this Bible study so that we can just
We were just actually starting to get rolling when time ended.
Yeah, and
darn time.
I mean, we're not going to do like 30 minutes or anything like that, but I want to just give a little bit more. All right, so right here, we get into like verse 11 or verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. What would you call this?
I would call this a principle, no? Instruction.
I would call this an instruction, too. This is a do. This is something that, as a Christian, I am supposed to do. Now, if you're just reading it, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of Jesus Christ, they all agree with one another, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're going to read by this, you're going to be like, what is this? This doesn't even mean anything for my life. But if you're looking for instructions, I appeal to you, brothers, right? That's a strong word. I appeal to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, like, that's a big appeal. Right. That all of you agree with one another. That is the instruction. That's a command right there. Yes. You have to listen. You have to agree with one another so that there may be no divisions. We don't want divisions. And it says that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. That's the principle. We, like Dave and I, we might not always agree, but we need to have united front. We need to be united with each other in the way we're thinking and in our hearts, in the way where our minds are working, because we're on the same mission for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so we need to be united in that way. Now, it says in verse 11, he continues talking about being united, but in verse 11, it changes.
Right. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. That means not united in mind.
This sounds like he's about to get into a warning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's talking about Chloe's household. And some people start reading like, oh, he's talking about someone I don't know. Skip it. But wait. He's actually giving the Corinthians a warning.
Right.
He's about to school them. Listen.
All right. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ.
Okay. So he's saying what?
He's saying that people have division among them about who they say they follow.
Exactly. Some are saying, oh yeah, man, Paul's my guy.
Right.
And it's like, whatever, dude, Cephas is my boy.
Right.
Other people are like, yo, dog, I follow Jesus, the man. And like Paul says, this is not okay, because he goes into the next verse.
Right. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?
And here we got him. He's using rhetorical questions. Mm-hmm. The answer is no.
Right.
No, he wasn't. Only Jesus was.
Right. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius, so none of you can say you were baptized in my name.
Now, it's interesting. Why do we care about this? I mean, Paul gives this name of someone that he baptized, but why would this be in Scripture? Well, this is real life for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to run into some real people in your church that you should be going to because you should be in fellowship with people.
Right.
That you're going to have a hard time getting along with sometimes. And Paul right here is saying, look, this is to the level. You guys have disagreed so sharply that I'm glad I didn't even baptize you, because if I did, you might be trying to follow me instead of Jesus. That's not good.
Yeah.
And the principle here is Paul is so upset about this that he wants to make it clear that I am glad that I didn't baptize you, because I only want you to follow Jesus Christ. And this is a problem when we start following men instead of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let's take this as a warning. Don't follow people, follow Jesus. Be in fellowship with people, be obedient to those in authority, but our leader is Jesus Christ.
Right. And that's one of the things that I bring up in our small groups at times, because people do, they get to talking about Revolution Church and how cool it is and stuff like that. And I agree that our church is cool and stuff, but let's not lose sight of the bigger picture, because this church would not be here were it not for Christ.
Exactly. You know, I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. Well, I follow Jeff. Well, no, I follow Dave.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a terrible thing for a church to do. No, our church follows Jesus Christ.
Right. And not only that, if you really want to give your pastor heartburn or heart problems, tell them, hey, I follow this dude.
Oh, man.
And, you know, I wouldn't want anybody to follow me in that manner, because first of all, I am not Christ, and I don't have all your answers, although I can try and find them for you, but Jesus is the answer, and I'm not the answer to anything.
That's right. I mean, I joke around and make people call you Pastor Dave and stuff, but really, we like to be called Jeff and Dave,
right?
Because we don't even want to put ourselves up on that pedestal. Let's keep reading here. in verse 16. Actually, jump to verse 17.
Okay. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power.
Okay, so here's another principle we're learning about Paul. God sent him to baptize, or sorry, God sent him to not baptize, right, but to preach the word, the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, Paul was sent to preach the gospel. That was Paul's entire job. God sent him to do this. This is obviously a big deal. What is the gospel? I'm going to open my Bible dictionary and look up the word gospel. And what am I going to find?
It's basically this, the love story of Christ. Basically that Christ died for our sins.
And that we can't work our way to heaven.
Right.
Because we're sinners, we deserve to go to hell. Even though we deserve to go to hell and be punished, God punished Jesus instead of us. And Jesus took our sins away from us so that we don't have to be punished by God. And now instead of being an enemy to God, we can be sons of God, children of God.
Amen.
That's the gospel. That's the good news. And this is what Paul was sent. So here's the principle. This is really good news. It's such good news that Paul traveled all around the world to do this. I know he traveled all around the world because in my study Bible, it actually gives me a little map and shows me where he went.
Right.
And so like I see these, like I read this stuff in my study Bible, and then I read these things and I'm looking for promises, principles, warnings, restrictions, instructions. Again, promises, principles, warnings, restrictions, and instructions. And then I'm using our cracked acronym to make sure I'm reading it the right way.
Right.
I'm focusing my lenses.
Right. If you're on the podcast and you want all of this information, get over to truthrevolution.tv. We'll have all that stuff in the notes.
We'll have it right there for you. So thanks for listening today. I hope you've learned a lot about how to study your Bible.
I know I did.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Really just go through there. Apply those five questions. When you get to a spot that's a little confusing, make sure you're doing the cracked acronym. And as always, you're part of a church. So if you run into a problem or a question, contact your growth group leader. Contact your pastor. Figure it out. People are here to help each other.